Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next intensive coming up June 29th through July 1st. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit us online at gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Steven Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Steven is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Steven. Steven, how you doing?
I am blessed. Thank you.
Good. Well, before we get started, I just want to remind you that we are a listener-supported broadcast. So if you are blessed by what we're doing and spreading the word about this broadcast, we are so thankful for that. We'd also like to let you know that there are ways that you can come alongside of us and partner with us financially and otherwise. And if you go to our website at puresexradio.com, right there on the homepage, there is a link that says make a donation, and you can click on that and find out all the ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. Well, our verse this week that I think is going to tie in well with what we're talking about comes from Exodus 20, and this is the famous passage where the Ten Commandments are, and so I'm going to actually read a little bit from there. It's chapter 20 of Exodus, verses 3 through 5. It says, "You shall have no other gods before me." This is God speaking. "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." So that's our passage, and I think that's going to fit in. That's a good thing to remember this week, that, you know, God is supreme. He doesn't want us to have any other gods before him, and he does not want us to create any sort of idols that would try to take his place of our worship, because he alone is worthy of our worship. So, Stephen, with that, I'm going to pass it off to you and just see where this broadcast takes us this week.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We got some great feedback this week, and I'm calling it Feedback Blessings, because a sister in Christ wrote and said we should rename the program to Deep Thought Broadcast. I thought, wow, we are the Deep Thought Broadcasting Company.
If only my name were Jack Handy from the Saturday Night Live days.
So number one, that was a blessing to think that we actually impart deep thoughts.
Yes, it is.
Number two, she is the same sister that called us Warriors of Grace, mm-hmm. which we really like that title. And receive it. And number three, she said something really that was a blessing, but also I think a tool that we'd like to place in your hands. She said, "I met a pastor once and talked to him about men and sexual struggles, And I gave him the resource, Pure Sex Radio. And she said, now he uses that when he's helping individuals. He gets them to listen to this radio podcast. So I would like to encourage you, if you have a minister that you ever speak to pass along our program as a resource. Mm-hmm. And thank you for that. So we're going to talk about some wounded soul thinking and try to make a connection between wounded soul thinking and sexual acting out behaviors. If you'll allow me to remind you, or let's do a little review. Let me say it that way. Review number one is people with sexual struggles seem to fall into two categories. Either they are wounded souls looking for comfort, or they are entitlement thinkers. Entitlement thinkers think, well, I should. Why can't I? I want to. You know, I'm special. But we're not going to talk about entitlement thinkers today. We're going to talk about wounded soul thinkers. And so that's number one in terms of review. And number two, if you recall, or some of you will recall, that a statement I made before is that people are very predictable. They're repetitive and predictable. And this whole idea that, oh, you can never understand the mind of a woman, not true. Or, you know, you just can't understand some people. I rebuke that thought. I think we're very predictable. God made us unique. We have specific desires and we're very knowable. But the question is, will you study someone else and listen to their language and watch their behavior so that you can know them?
Yeah, you know, it's almost like, as you're saying that, I'm kind of chuckling to myself because I'm saying, no, seriously, she really is that you know, unknowable and unpredictable. But then when you said, are you willing to study that person enough, it made me think, you know, we are so self-centered and selfish and self-focused,
yes,
that we are unaware that people are repetitive and predictable.
Mm.
But you know what? If you look in the mirror and you look at your own life, you go, well, I'm repetitive and predictable.
Right.
But it's I never pay enough attention to anybody else to actually see that, because I just think, oh, like they're so confusing, I can't understand them. And what you said hit the nail on the head. We just don't study other people enough to see it. We don't get outside of ourselves enough to see that people are predictable and repetitive.
And it's interesting because people will literally tell you what their needs are if you listen to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in the business of listening to people. And in just a few minutes, I can just listen to you and you tell me stories and I kind of tell what you need. And I mean, that's how transparent we are. We tell other people what we need. Sometimes they don't want to deliver it. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes they're too busy or too distracted, or as you say, consume with self.
Yeah.
Right. We go to work all day and then we come home and it's like, I want to take everything else after work and save it for me. Well, there are children in the house and a spouse and at home, and some guys go up and get lost in their computers for hours and they come down. What's for supper? What happened? And all the while she bathed the kids and read them stories, put them to bed, and he missed it. Why am I telling that story and picking on guys? I think I took a side trip there, you know?
Well, and I did want to say before we go any further, because you talked about wounded soul thinking and entitlement thinking, I don't want people to think that those are completely separate categories, meaning you are either a wounded soul thinker or you're an entitlement thinker. I think sometimes we can have a little bit of, but
right,
you know, we might be 80-20, you know, it's like I'm an 80% wounded soul thinker, but you know what? I got a little bit of entitlement thinking along the way, you know, in terms of my sexuality and my acting out and those kind of things. But I think, generally speaking, you're going to predominantly fall into one of these two categories.
Right. If you look past into an entitlement person, they're wounded too, mm-hmm. right? But they're wounded in a different way. And wounded people are obviously wounded. They'll tell you what they need and you can watch them and they shrink back. They're victims. They wait. They go second. They don't speak. They don't command the room. You know what I mean? They take a different position. So our conversation is going to be on level one and level two. So if you would think about that, level one, level two, as I speak, level one is this: repetitive sins and predictable reactions. They are also known as coping skills. So how we live is how we think we have to live. So some people talk all the time and they think, well, if I'm not talking, nobody's going to be listening. Or some people worry all the time and they just worry and they get up worried and they go to bed worried. And, you know, I'm not talking about if you worry a little bit or if you're angry a little bit. Ah, that's all of us. But if it's too much, the dial is turned up on high and you are angry too much of the time. If you're lying, if you're hiding, withdrawing, these, even sexually fantasizing or living a secret sexual life. On one hand, these are like, they were termed for me besetting sins or enslaving sins. And I had to look up that definition for besetting sins. It means constantly troubling or attacking. They're tempting, harassing, assailing. They just keep coming at you. And so we grab it, it grabs us, and we have this dance. And on level one, we have these behaviors. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think that's the best way to sort of encapsulate it. Level one, in terms of us thinking about there's sort of two levels to this issue of wounded soul thinking, is it's focused on the behavior. What is this person doing repetitively, over and over and over again, that's unhealthy, unhelpful, damaging, destroying? And so you can kind of look at that. You can just look at how a person, or you could look in the mirror. You can look at how you generally respond to things. Maybe you're just constantly have this sort of low-grade anxiety about everything is, you know, the sky is falling kind of experience. Or maybe you're the person that, unless all of your ducks are in a row all the time, and if anything, you know, blocks your agenda, you just cannot handle it. It's just, so you're going to be angry. I think that's the level one. It's like, it just, you have these deeply ingrained patterns that are beyond just sort of your normal, oh, hey, I'm concerned about that. Or, oh, you know what? That kind of upsets me. It's more of this constant stream.
Yes. Now let me go ahead and put out a disclaimer here, because I think anxiety and depression are chemical problems, so that when your brain doesn't work correctly, it can produce a chemical that makes you feel anxious and agitated all the time. And it's not so much a worry issue as a biological issue, or depression. If you've ever met a depressed person, you try to talk them up, but their biology is just heavy and sad. It's really hard for them to cope, because they just don't have any feel-good chemicals in their brain working. They're just depressed. The anxiety and depression, you know, are mental health conditions. We're talking about being negative and saying the glass is half full all the time, or angry too much, or controlling, or what Jonathan was talking about, being anxious and worrying. But that's just kind of how you are. And you say, well, that's my personality. And, well, I can't change. You just have to accept who I am, because I get up and I think about things to worry about, you know? And it becomes our definition. And some level, it's a coping, but it's also a way to keep ourselves safe. Because even pleasing can be that same thing. Have you noticed people that try to be pleasing? Can I help you? What do you need? What me do for you? It's all about you. And you go, come on, get a backbone, have an opinion. You know, what happened to you? You're in there, but you're so hard pleasing because you think it keeps you safe and makes you feel loved when you do these behaviors.
And I think what this level one is it's how we create our mask, basically, to keep others and even ourselves from engaging level two, which we'll talk about in just a minute. So as you're saying this, I'm seeing this person that you know, pushes away through worry, and this person who pushes away through anger, and this person who, you know, creates this facade through control. And I see all of these as sort of the bricks in the wall that keep me, quote unquote, safe inside and others away. And sometimes I think it's happening on such a subconscious level, mm-hmm. that we're not even aware that we're doing it. So what we tend to do is, when somebody tries, you know, somebody that's healthy comes along and says, why do you do that? That's, I mean, tell me what's really going on. And you go, Well, that's just the way I am, man. Just right. Step back. That's who I am.
What are you trying to change me?
Exactly.
You know, and why are you saying that to me?
What's happened is somebody is saying, I want to remove that brick and actually look behind there and see. And you go, whoa, wait a second.
Don't mess with
Nobody touches my bricks, you know.
That's good. That's really good. Because I think it applies to eating all the time, eating too much and drinking. I mean, just think about all the addictions. You know, it's coping, but it's bad coping.
And specifically with what we're talking about, think about in terms of pornography. When a person, you know, they're using that as their bricks in the wall. When my wife comes at me and wants to talk about her feelings or talk about her dreams or her fears, guess what? I'm going to go escape into porn, or even if she's talking, I'm escaping into the sexual fantasies in my head, or I'm doing anything to get behind that brick wall because I don't want to engage that. And then what happens? What happens when she catches him on the internet or catches him, you know, ogling another woman? What does he say? Hey, I'm just a guy. That's the way guys are. You know, you can deal with it or leave. You know, and it's the same kind of mentality of just kind of saying, this is who I am, or at least who I'm presenting myself to be, deal with it or go away.
Well, and that's interesting because it's my coping, right? Once I put all those bricks out there and they define me, then I can't get rid of them. I need them. I've developed them. I've set this whole little structure in place. And when you come and rattle it and go, why is this structure here? You go, leave it alone. What are you trying to do? Why are you picking on me?
Because it's almost like we don't know who we are without the bricks. Because nobody ever maybe came along when we were a child and taught us about identity and taught us about our core. Yes. And nobody ever came along and said who you are and spoke words of truth into your life.
And nobody talked about fears and doubts and feelings. So let's talk about level two, because on level two, which is the deeper issue, we have the fear issues. And I'm becoming more and more convinced we're driven by fear. If we don't have hope, if we don't have grace and freedom, then we have fear. You know, I don't think you could be a neutral. I don't know. I'm a nothing. I'm a zero. No.
No.
you have fear or you have hope. You know, you have fear or you have faith. And so what are the fear issues? The fear issues are how we doubt ourselves. You know, I'm really not enough. And if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. I'm so simple and plain. There's nothing outstanding about me. And I'm quirky and odd at times. And I'm really kind of different than you are. You're smart and fast and pretty. And I'm not like that. And I guess, if I'm honest about my fear, it's that I'm going to be all alone. Mm-hmm. Do those sounds like fears that you recognize?
Sure, yeah. And some of the fears might be, you know, you might be a high producer. You might be incredibly talented. But your fear is, what if I ever slowed down? What would people think of me then? What if I took a break? What if I took a day off? You know, and I am the producer in my family, or I'm the producer in my work, or I'm the one that always generates and sells, and I am the man, you know.
And so, but that's the wall again, so right? The image wall.
And that's
that you
just
talked
it. And
about.
So what the fear with that person would be, it still resonates maybe with them being a pleaser, you know. I produce because people give me strokes and they say attaboy and they, you know. And what if I just took a day off and didn't produce?
And you know what's interesting? That's like a pseudo liking me, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a really liking me. You like me because I can produce for you. And I know that it's I can't really feel good about me, but boy, if I can get you to say good things about me, that's not bad.
Well, because, and part of that is because, you know, this person may have structured their life in such a way that you can only know producer me.
Yes.
You can't know real me. So because you only know producer me, and I know that you only know producer me, if I let producer me take a day off, you have nothing to know other than producer me. And when you see him take a day off, you think, what, is he lazy? What happened? Yeah. You know, so it's
but and wouldn't you also say behind that we work so hard on this wall that we build that we aren't doing the real work that's back there
oh,
that we need to
yeah.
do because we're constricting our wall of image and value so we sort of look good enough for people to like us. But then there's the problem. God didn't fix my fear. So I guess I'm going to have to fix my own fear because I don't think I'm good enough. And people won't really like me because I'm different and I'm going to end up all alone. And because God just left me like this, I'll come up with my own solution, mm-hmm. which is what we call a false idol.
Yeah.
Right. My solution becomes a false idol.
And I think, you know, what you're talking about is what happens in the sort of the delusional pathway spiral that we get on. We somewhere along the way, it was either introduced to us or we latched on to the false idea that God abandoned us, that God left us this way, that God did whatever in terms of in some ways actually creating this havoc in our lives and this brokenness and all that. That's kind of the delusional pathway spiral that we can get on. Based on whatever sin we've been involved in, whatever wounds we've carried, you know, all that we're talking about wounded soul thinking, right? So in some ways that's what happens. We got wounded and wounds are something that was inflicted upon us. And so whatever those wounds are, it's real easy sometimes for a person to then say, where were you, God? Where were you when this person was wounding me or when these wounds were taking place? And so then the delusional thoughts come in that say, I guess since God won't take care of me, here come the bricks. I got to start
and
putting
I
these,
will take care of me.
I've
and then we're
this.
Back to level one again, right?
And that's,
I'm going to control and I'm going to use my image or my anger or I'm going to fantasize at being a superstar through the use of porn. I'm going to take care of me.
And that's where these bricks build the idols. That's really what's going on. If I start laying brick upon brick of pornographic thinking, which is really self-centered thinking, what I'm ultimately doing is I am building an idol to pornography, or at the very least, a pornographic thinking. I'm building an idol.
It's
there.
Because me, I need that, right? That's
right.
Mine. I made that little sexual idol, porn idol worship thing, and right, I constructed. It's my idol.
And so, and because early on that idol delivers some soothing to my wounds,
right.
I start saying, look, this took care of me when God wouldn't. And so you can see how people can construct idols in their life.
Right.
And then they wonder later on, maybe when they become an adult, they go, I clearly am now starting to see the damage that this pornographic idol is causing in my life, but I can't give it up. I've built the wall too high. Right. And I hear these people telling me about the love of God. And I you know what? I even feel the whispers myself that that's got some truth in it and that I really want that. But what do I do now? I mean, I've got
but
a 10-foot-high idol.
I'm so
porn.
Woven into my idol, too, right?
Exactly,
it's not like
yeah.
I built it and walked away from it. It's like my hand is still stuck in the cement of the idol or
right.
something. I've got concrete all over me from spending all day adding another piece to this idol. And so we're talking about porn. Or sexual acting out behavior, affairs can be idols, fantasizing and porn can be idols, flirting rituals can be idols, but also control can be an idol, and anger can be an idol, and pleasing and perfectionism, they're all idols.
Mm-hmm.
They're what we made up to make ourselves feel good.
Even the idea of escape in general can become an idol, mm-hmm. basically saying that's how I can deal best with life. And so that's what I'm going to worship. That's what I'm going to follow. So when life gets too tough, when, you know, stress gets too heavy, I'm going to escape. And that's my idol. That's how I cope. That's what I'm going to build an altar to, basically.
Okay. So this, we talk about it as wounded soul because it's a deep issue. And it's interesting how we are not aware of some of these things. We spend so much time building the wall and participating in it, that we forget to address what's behind it, which is our fears. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at myself in sexual struggles and I was honest about those and confessed those, I was free. Because there wasn't anything else that was scarier than having to admit, you know, some fantasy stuff that you know, I wanted to play with. And you know, confession frees our soul, right? And to bring it into the light is to bring the idol before the Father and before brothers and sisters in Christ and say, look the mess that I've made. It's almost consuming like a god, but now I have to realize it's like building a sandcastle. I didn't build anything when the first wave hits. You know, I didn't really build anything. But when I was called to really be a member of a body and make a serious contribution to the body of Christ, to brothers and sisters, and to do meaningful work, I was out playing in the sand, you know, in the sand pit with some little cement and molding a little thing that I thought was special.
And, you know, I think sometimes the fears, they morph over time, too, because I think the initial fears are, I think, almost legitimate, valid responses out of the woundedness. I mean, think about it. If you are wounded, it's natural to be afraid because somebody hurt you or something hurt you or something made you afraid.
That's a good point.
And so I think initially, I think that fear is sort of a natural, warranted kind of response.
Yes, because we're young,
yeah,
too, and we don't know. We grab something.
Something overwhelmed our system. Why wouldn't we be afraid?
Yeah.
But then I think what happens over time is we grab the bricks. We start laying this foundation for these idols. And where the fear then goes is I have constructed a very workable image. And so I live behind this image that I've constructed, this brick wall image that other people, it's workable. I mean, hey, they find it acceptable. They say I'm a nice guy. They say, oh, isn't he, you know, neat and what he's doing. And so it's like you've got this workable image. And then the fear becomes, I don't think I could live without the wall.
That's right. Yeah.
And so the fear
it's
isn't
so much a part of us.
The
right?
fear isn't so much rooted anymore in those wounds. It's rooted in the image that's been built, the idol that's been built. And can I live without this idol? And so,
wow, think about what you just said. I spent all this time building this thing. It's mine,
and
right?
It only magnified the fears, you know?
But I never addressed those fears, right? Yeah. But I came up with this solution, and I've been focused on it. I've been consumed by it. And that's why it's become an idol. Mm-hmm. You know, as I was listening, I was thinking, wow, you sound really smart, Jonathan. This must be deep thought radio.
You know, the only reason that I might sound like I know what I'm talking about is because I'm actually thinking of real examples from my own life about how many more bricks that still need to come out of my wall, you know?
That's too good. You're being honest again. Let's close the door to Jonathan and get behind the wall here.
No, because honestly, you know, idol that I still have is the one about control. I still have a lot of deep fears about what happens if I fully let go? What happens if I don't have a plan and all this kind of stuff? And it's like, that's one area that God just keeps, you know, this is the neat thing about God is that when we build idols, he owns a chisel. He's a sculptor, right?
Right. Yes.
He's called a potter, you know? And so in a sense, he's going to mold us. And sometimes when we build these walls, he says, really, in order for me to make what I need to make in you, I got to bring the chisel out. Now, he doesn't bring a sledgehammer out.
Or the caterpillar tractor.
Yeah, exactly. Right? He patiently keeps chiseling away. And so I'm appreciative of that because I know that wall needs to come down if I'm going to experience a life the way he designed it to be experienced. And I just want to kind of steer our listeners here in the last minute that we have of being able to say we've talked about fear and we've talked about idols. I know we haven't given you a bunch of solutions. That's intentional. We just want you to be able to say, are you looking and realizing what fears you have? And are you looking at what kind of idols that has built? Because those are the areas that you're going to need to address in moving forward. I will give you one verse that has helped me tremendously with the fear issue. It's Psalm 56:3. And it says this, when I'm afraid, not if, when I am afraid, I will trust you, meaning the Lord. The solution to fear is trusting the Lord. And so I hope that's encouraging you. I hope you've been able to kind of take away some things that we've talked about here and be able to at least start to look at your fear and look at your idols and start to break into those areas and break down the wall.
I don't know if you blessed anybody else, but you blessed me today. Thank you.
Well, good. We're glad you've been with us, listeners, and we'll see you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.